night, everybody, and welcome to our house-to-house Bible study. Thank you for your attendance tonight. It is my pleasure, my honor to present and to teach this Bible study. It's been going on for a long time. We moved to Charlotte in 2005, and shortly thereafter, we started doing Bible study house to house. And if those of you who remember way back then, we were physically going from one person's house. Every Saturday was my house or somebody else's house or somebody else's house or somebody else's house. And it's been going like that ever since 2000, maybe 2006 or so, 2007. And when COVID knocked us down, we decided to put it online and do it virtually. But you know what? I've been getting several requests for us to go back face to face. So we might sprinkle that in this coming year so that we might see each other and have great fellowship together. Amen. As you know, Pastor is traveling. So we taught last night, and he's been teaching in his preaching and in his teaching on this thing about having a sound mind for several weeks now. So I've decided to continue in that vein, and I've decided to share on some of the emotions that prevent us from developing a sound mind, or the emotions that hinder us from having a sound mind. Last week, I began with the emotion of regret. And many of you texted me and say how wonderful that was, and you really enjoyed that presentation. And so tonight, I'm doing another emotion, and that emotion is fear. Fear. I have two passages of scripture to take you through. 1 John 4:18. The Bible tells us that there is no fear in love.
Amen.
But perfect love casts out fear. Amen.
Glory to God.
Because fear involves torment, but he who fear has not been made perfect in love. Wow. Yeah. John is not playing. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. And the next one is familiar. 1 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love
and of a sound mind.
All right, so let's begin. I'm going to give you a lot of verses of scripture tonight, because I feel like if for no other reason, you'll have it in the podcast, you can go back and review some of these verses. And those of you who are taking notes, you can write them down. All right, let's begin. The fact is that fear sometimes will manifest in ways that will paralyze us. Fear comes to us as anxiety, as fright, as terror, to some of us as panic. Fear makes us worry. We get worried and pull our hair out. Fear comes to us as nervousness, as alarm, as agitation, as trepidation, as uneasiness. Fear comes to us as misgivings or dread and a host of other paralyzing emotions. As you can imagine, these can truly hinder the feelings that someone can experience in the normal process of living, not to mention when you're facing a difficult circumstances. And it also will cloud how you experience God. And I'll prove that to you tonight through the scripture. Paul's letter to Timothy expresses that God wants us to be free from fear. You might ask, how do I know that? Well, it's all throughout the scripture. He tells us in his word many, 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 many times. We read things like, fear not, do not be afraid. And there are hundreds more verses in the Bible, and I'll share a few of them with you right now. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom? Of whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. Psalm 46, 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, should not we fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas, though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling thereof, we ought not to fear. Amen. Psalms 118, 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I like that rhetorical question. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. Deuteronomy 31, 6. Be strong and of good courage, and do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah 41, 13. God says, for I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Hebrews 13, 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Deuteronomy 3, 22. You must not fear them, says the Lord, for the Lord your God himself will fight for you. Come on. Come on. This should encourage you. Luke 12, 32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. Lamentations 3, 57. You drew near on the day I called on you and said to you, do not fear. Amen. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. The writer says, whenever I'm afraid, which, by the way, means that you will be afraid, even as a child of God. Whenever I'm afraid, he says, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I will put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do to me. And here's an Old Testament book you don't see very often, or you don't read from very often. Haggai. Chapter number 2, verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, says the Lord, so my spirit remains among you, so do not fear. Hallelujah. And the final one I'll give you for right now, Luke 12, 7. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. And I can go on and on. I can go on and on. There are hundreds of scriptures all throughout the Bible, God saying to us in one way or another, do not be afraid. I'm with you. I got you. But what is God trying to tell us? When you feel fear, are you wrong? Are you wrong when you feel fearful of something? Or you're not sure how you're going to pay your next month's rent or mortgage and you become fearful. Is that wrong? Is that bad?
I don't think it's wrong.
Bad health diagnosis. Or maybe when your job is on the line, you find out your boss doesn't really like you all that much. Is that wrong? No. No, obviously not, because we just read Psalm 56, 3. Whenever I'm afraid, the psalmist says, I will trust in you. So we will feel fear at times. Yes, we will. In fact, God wired our brains to experience fear. It is a primary emotion. There is a reason and a purpose for our fear as we respond to various triggering stimuli. When God says, do not fear, he's not commanding us to shut off a part of our brain. He doesn't want us to be emotionless like robots. The real issue God wants us to wrestle with is, where do we go when we experience fear? Who do you turn to when you experience fear? How do you deal with them? Where do you go with your fear? Simply put, the answer is this. God wants us to come to him when we fear. Fear can paralyze us. So yet when we fear in the presence of God, God will help us to take the next step of faith, even in the midst of our fear. And I know that there are some of you on the call tonight that have fear. I want to call out your name, but I know that. But unfortunately, no one will be able to escape the emotion of fear in this sin-filled world. It is very real. And yes, it can be paralyzing. And oh yes, it's powerful. Fear is a powerful emotion. But remember this, God is more powerful than any fear you may experience. He has the power and also the desire to be with us in the midst of our fears. If you remember this, it will enable you to take the very next step of faithfulness in your walk with God. How? Because God is with us. I just read you 10 scriptures, 12 scriptures. We can continue to fight to believe Jesus is more than our fears. You will walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death, he tells you, and you ought not to fear any evil because he's with you. Come on, somebody. It's clear. It's not God's will for us to live in a state of anxiety. Anytime we're living in fear, it's very likely that we're going to make mistakes. We're going to stumble. Our mouths are going to get dry. If you're like me, when I get fearful or nervous, my mouth get all dry. I can hardly talk. I feel like I got chalk in my mouth. But in 2 Timothy 1, verse 6 and 7, we see the problem, how God tells us to address it. He says, I remind you, Timothy, Paul is talking to his minister, Timothy, and he says, I remind you in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1, to stir up that gift that is within you, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And then he tells him the text that we read, for God has not given that to you. That didn't come from God. God gave you power and love and a sound mind. And I thank God for that. I praise the Lord for that. Fear serves to do some good things to us. There's a value to some kind of fear. God gave us this fight or flight mechanism in our minds. And we can avoid many pitfalls when we are sometimes afraid. For example, we teach our children not to play in the streets in order to keep them from accidents. You need to fear a speeding car. It may even save your lives if you don't play in the street. That's a healthy fear. I have a good friend that's an electrician. And believe me, he has a healthy fear of electricity. He's a good electrician. I suspect that he's been shocked a few times, right? But he has such respect for its power. He says, because it could kill you in a minute. Right? So there is the positive reaction to fear, which God encourages. We are told in the Bible that we ought to fear God. Well, this is, of course, referring to being in awe, this reverential awe of God's presence, God's ability. When you think of his ability and when you think of his word, his commandments. In fact, when you think of those people who say that they don't fear God, that's a sure sign that those people are heading for judgment. People who say they don't fear God. They scare me. I don't walk close to those people because God ought to be feared. Hallelujah. When Jethro advised Moses in Exodus 18 to place judges in the land to help him keep order and to help him make decisions, one of the first things Jethro told Moses was in Exodus 18:21, choose you out men who fear God. That is the criteria. Those are the characteristics that you must look for. Men who fear God. The writer of the book of Ecclesiastes stated that the primary duty and major responsibility of man is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Ecclesiastes 8:13. I remember Abraham once said, that his life was in danger because, quote, he was in a place where the people did not fear God. Read it. Genesis 20, verse 11. So this fear of God, it cuts both ways, right? There is a time to fear God, and there is a time not to fear man and our circumstances. The Grand Turk Railroad, which built a lot of the railroads throughout our country when we were discovering the West, as it were, maybe more like conquering the West, right? The railroad offered a reward of $2,500, which at the time was a very large sum of money. They wanted to the help of the community to come up with the best phrase to use on their railroad signs. The phrase that won the award is one you have no doubt seen many times. It simply says, stop, look, and listen. Because I don't know if you know this, but trains run on electricity. Most of them do. They still have coal trains, but the vast amount of trains that you will see, especially in Charlotte, in and around most major cities, they're run on electricity, and there's a tremendous amount of electricity that is on that third rail. So we need to have a healthy respect and fear of trains. That's always
Amen. For us.
Amen. We don't play on train lines, do we? Amen. And so when we read what's happening in our world, especially among some of our young people, they seem to have no fear of anything. And there's reason to believe that they are losing their positive concept of fear. We see in social media teens attacking one another and recording it. They're attacking old people and they're attacking, not too long ago, they were attacking Asian people. Just because. In December 2016, there was an awful story of a shooting of a guy by the name of Christopher Lane. He was a star athlete from the country of Australia. One of the teens implicated in the shooting was said to have laughed out loud when he was arrested. No fear. Losing his respect for the law and for the things that he would be eventually convicted of, the things that he would do. And so we are lacking a respect for God, for human life. And so it's no wonder that you talk to some people and they feel like going in their house, locking the door, pulling down the shades and going underneath their covers or even going under their beds. They're so filled with fear. King Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter number 1, verse 7, he's writing to his son. And you know what he wrote? He says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we ought to fear God in a healthy way, not what man can do to us. So by that same token, we can then surmise that a failure to fear God must be the beginning of stupidity, right? Using the same definition. So not only do we need to know the value of fear, we can sometimes become the victim because of fear. So we just talked a little bit about positive fear, why we should fear some things. Let's talk about the negative kind of fear, which is never good for us. That type of fear is rampant in our land. If you all remember Ann Landers, many, many years ago, she wrote a newspaper column in the Chicago Sun newspaper. At the height of her fame, she was said to receive over 10,000 letters a day. She stated that the number one subject above all in all of those letters by far was the subject of fear. People were afraid, terrified. She wrote that they were afraid of dying and some were afraid of living. fear not having money, and then fear losing what little money they had. Some were afraid of losing a spouse, and then they were afraid of getting married. Some of this was healthy fear, but a lot of it was irrational. And so fear can often be very harmful. When interviewed, one of the feelings teenagers express, and this is teenagers between the age of 15 and 19, a recent study, the feelings most expressed by these teenagers was that of fear. Fear of the future. Fear of responsibility. Fear of failure. And of course, there's always been a tension between independence and insecurity in the adolescent years of life. Today, the pressures on teens are more intense than ever. A lot of kids have the feeling that they can't, or they don't even want to make it into adulthood. I've heard kids say that. I don't even want to grow up, man. It's too many responsibilities. And they'll joke and they say, boy, adulting is terrible. And as a result, adulting leads to the fear of adulting, maybe I should say. Suicide among younger people, 15 through 19 in America, is the third leading cause of death, behind homicide and behind accidents. You believe that? And many young people do not want to even go out into life with all its hardships and fears, and thus they stay at home as long as they can. There's a great fear among seniors also, as they deal with aging, illness, distance, and separation from family. Fixed income and higher prices for everything. So there is fear among adults, fear among young people. We see the world changing rapidly, right? They fear what their children are being taught in public schools, adults are, and they fear diseases like COVID-19 and what that may mean to them and their families. So fear has a vicious nature about it. It doesn't care who you are or where you are or what you do or how much money you have in the bank or what job title you're sporting these days. Fear attacks people of every race, every economic background, every color, from all backgrounds. Fear can attack children, teens, young adults, and everyone else all the way into old age. I read a brief story earlier. It talks about a young mother that brought her 8-year-old daughter to talk to the pastor because she had this crazy fear of getting on the school bus. And no matter how the parents tried, they could not get her to tell them what was wrong. Teacher couldn't figure it out. The pastor sat with her alone for about 30 minutes. And after talking with her friends, what is it that may be causing this fear? So this pastor asked her, is anyone hurting you on the bus at school? Nope. Are you afraid of anyone in particular? Nope. And then he asked, is it your teacher? And she started crying with tears falling down her eyes. It turned out that no one was really hurting her, but she was terrified of her third grade teacher, 8 years old. Now, thank God the problem was eventually resolved, but just think of it, an 8-year-old girl being terrified of her teacher, whatever the reason was, to her that fear was real. And so we might, shrug it off and say there's no need to fear your teacher, but to her that was a real deal. The Apostle Peter experienced fear when he stood by the fire while Jesus was being tried, in the scripture the Bible tells us. The powerful prophet Elijah, he experienced fear immediately after his major victory against the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. The Bible tells us because of a threat from this crazy woman called Jezebel, he ran away and hid himself by the brook Cherith. This is Elijah that killed 850 prophets of Baal. Fear respects no one, and anyone can fall victim to fear. Even our brother Timothy, solid Christian, came from a Christian home, right? Trained at the feet of Paul, and his obvious spiritual gifts, he too fell victim to fear, so much so that Paul had to stop him and say, listen, man, God didn't give that to you. Paul wrote to him in his book and said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Instead, God gave us power and love and a sound mind. And a sound mind. And so I want you to be aware of that, of the fact that fear is no respecter of persons. So now, how do we overcome fear? What do we do? Many of you may have heard of the writer of award-winning book, Treasure Island. And he also wrote Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. His name was Robert Louis Stevenson. When he was a child, he accidentally locked himself in his room and couldn't get out. As night fell on his neighborhood or his, where he lived, as darkness came on that evening, he became so very fearful. He became terror-stricken. And when his father was unable to open the door, the father sent for a locksmith. But while he waited, Robert Louis Stevenson was curled up on the floor in terror. So his dad pulled up against the door and began to talk to him through the keyhole. Hearing his dad's voice soothed him somewhat, and knowing that his dad was just on the other side of the door was all Robert needed to endure this temporary imprisonment, if you want to call it, until the locksmith got there. My brothers, my sisters, in a similar fashion, you need to know that God is right on the other side of that door. God is right there. He's close by. And he cares deeply for you. And you can have victory over fear. I tell you what, I've been praying for some people in the last few months. You know, let me just take a moment and digress a little bit. I especially want to appeal to our women, our sisters. I'm thinking of two sisters in particular that I've been praying for. My encouragement to you, and they're not on this call tonight, but my encouragement to them is that you do not allow fear to rob you of your potential in God. You've got to fight that. Don't allow fear to rob you of your place in church and your rightful place at your workplace. God has given you power over that paralyzing fear. He says, cast your care on me because I care for you. And I promise you that God will lead you out of that fearful place. We have God's power to confront fear and to overcome it. You may have heard the story of the paratrooper who was asked, hey, how many jumps did you have to your credit? And as you know, if you've been trained as a paratrooper, that's an important number. And he responded quickly, 25. Then he held his head down, sort of embarrassed that he had lied. And then he confessed, actually, it was only one jump. He was then asked, really, only one? He answered, yes, I only jumped once. The other 24 times I was pushed. Right? Right? So those of you who have been to jump school know what I'm talking about. Sometimes God will push us in order to get us to overcome our fears. He wants us to know that the power to overcome is present because he is present. He is like that father standing at the pool like I did with my child, beckoning my child to jump in the pool. Because, you know, a little fearful there. My arms outstretched, but the child is reluctant. At last, the child sees the father's large grin on his face and smiling face, and then the child chooses to jump, knowing that there's no way her father is going to allow her to drown or to be in harm. And that is how we ought to think of God. God wants us to trust him in every situation, in particular, the fearful ones. In particular, the fearful one. 1 John 4:18 says, that's that scripture we read again, there is no fear in love, because perfect love will extinguish fears, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Here's an interesting statement that I want you to ponder. It is not our love for God, it is his love for us, why we need not fear. I'm going to say that again. It's not your love for him. It is his love for you, why you ought not to fear. He loves you too much to allow ruin to come to you. It is not just God's strength that causes us to trust him. It is his love. He loves us, and even if we're going through hardships, he's working behind the scenes to bring about a good purpose from it. Don't worry, Sister Audrey. God's on the case. God's on the case. Paul says to the church at Rome in Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." He was convinced that God's got him. So no matter what was coming, height, depth, any other created things cannot separate him from God's love. Perfect love cast out fear. Look at Philippians 1:19-21. "For I know," Paul writes to the church at Philippi, "that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life," watch this, "whether by life or by my death." In verse 21, he says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, Paul is clearly stating that he knows God is going to deliver him. He goes so far as to state whether it is by his life or death. Either way, he can't lose. Paul says, if I live, Christ is with me. And if I die, I will be with Christ. So from this example, we know that we rest in God's perfect love, which the Bible again tells us drives away fear. We can live without fear by allowing God to take control of our mind. This sound mind that Pastor has been preaching about is when we cast our cares on God, and all of our troubles, all of our fears, all of our insecurities, all of our weaknesses, all of our sins, we give it to him. Say, God, I need you to handle this for me because I'm terrified. I can't handle it. I was doing a little bit of research on Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. It is said that he had a massive Bible in his room, and if you just put the Bible down, it would automatically open. It would automatically open to Psalms 34. Some of us know what that is, right? When you have your Bible open to a particular passage, it kind of gets set that way. It is said that when one reads that passage, it is noteworthy that one part of that passage is smudged in his old Bible. It seemed like he had his finger on it. It is apparent that the president had placed his finger on that one spot and pondered it for many, 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 many minutes, maybe many hours. And that spot was in Psalms 34, where it reads, I sought the Lord and he heard me, hallelujah, and delivered me from all of my fears. Isn't that beautiful? The president of the United States during the Civil War.
Yes.
Under this particular verse, I sought the Lord. If you know anything about Civil War history, this was not an easy time in America. And President Lincoln was faced with some very difficult decisions. Mm-hmm. And this verse gave him comfort, I believe.
Amen.
I sought the Lord and he heard me, delivered me, hallelujah.
Amen. From my fears.
Have you done that in your tough times? Have you sought the Lord and found that he has delivered you from all of your fears? I believe that someone in this very study may be dealing with fears right now.
I'm going to tell you a joke, brother.
So listen to me. Fear harms you. Fear harms you. It harms your physical body. Fear takes away your peace of mind. Fear stresses out your nervous system. It stresses out the vessels that take blood to and from your heart. Fear even makes you selfish and keeps you from acting in faith. And we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you would like to have victory over fear once and for all, I encourage you to submit completely to the Lord tonight. He promises to give you rest. He says, those who are weary and are heavy burden, heavy laden, he's going to give you rest. Maybe even laden down by your fears. God promises to give you relief, rest from your fears. If you would just confess to him, say, God, you know my weaknesses. You know what I fear. You know my challenges. I'm finally ready to give it to you. Help me to overcome it and be sincere about it. Ask him to help you to overcome your fears. And I promise that he will. I promise that he will. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. That's all I have for you tonight.
Thank you for listening to First Church Charlotte. If this podcast has blessed you, please rate it with 4 or 5 stars. By doing so, you will help others find our free podcast and bless them. If you're in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, come worship with us at 4929 North Sharon Amity Road. For information about service times, church ministries, and so much more, visit us online at firstchurchclt.com. If you would like to help support our efforts, please text GIVE to 704-445-5353. We pray God's richest blessings to you. Come worship with us.